ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद्गीता चैप्टर 9, चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द मोस्ट कॉन्फिडेंशियल नॉलेज, टेक्स्ट नंबर 27। यत्करोषि यदश्नासि यज्होषि ददासि यत्, यत्तपस्यसि कौन्तेय तत्कुरुष्व मदर्पणम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation: whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Purport: thus, it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul, maintenance of his body and soul together. And Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live. Therefore, he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, Krishna recommends, do it for me. And this is called Archana. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra round his beads, he is surely the greatest meditator and the greatest yogi, as substantiated by the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Welcome the devotees for the evening Bhagavad Gita class. So today we are discussing from the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This 9th chapter is entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge. So in today's verse, Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So, when a person reads this particular verse, in fact, there are many such verses in the Bhagavad Gita, like Krishna says that, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, offer your homage unto me. So, when a person reads such kind of verses, which Krishna says, Krishna is deliberately asking that one should surrender to him, one should become his devotee, one may get confused as to what kind of God is he. God is demanding a person to basically surrender everything, do whatever he does as an offering to him. So one may misunderstand that this God is some kind of a sadistic enjoyer. He simply wants to enjoy everyone's property. So, it is, I gave the example previously, It is just like, suppose when a person is studying in the college, so in the final semester, there is something called campus interview. The companies come to the campus, and then they interview the students in the campus, and they recruit the students for their companies in the last semester of their college days. So during the campus interview, the company will, first of all, they will actually present about their company. Like in an auditorium, they will first present what their company is, what are their values, how many employees are there in the company, like what work they are doing, what kind of research they are doing, what kind of projects they are doing, and how when a person joins the company, what all benefits he will get, like something called employee stock options. We will give so many employee stock options, and this will be the pay package, and you will get a tour abroad, like that. They give so much of advertisement. They basically talk about their company only. So one may wonder why they are talking so much about their company. But then in order for people to join their company, they have to present their company as it is. They have to present the merits of the company. So they are not, like they cannot exaggerate something, exaggerate their company to a great extent, because people will also be seeing about, before going for their company, people will see in the internet about their company, and people will ask others, what sort of company is. So the company will present as it is about the merits of the company. So in order for people to join the company, it is necessary that they have to present as it is about their company. So there is no boasting involved in one sense, although they may do boasting. But similarly, Krishna is presenting, Krishna is saying that whatever you do it as an offering to me. Whatever you eat, do it as an offering to me. Basically, become my devotee, offer all homage unto me. Like that he tells in so many verses. So these verses, Krishna is not telling in the mood of an enjoyer, so that everyone surrenders to him, and then so that he can enjoy everyone's property. Krishna is not telling in that mood. In fact, if we just study the character of Krishna, Krishna is actually always eager to serve his devotees. In fact, Krishna is more eager to meet the living entity than the living entity. Like suppose, if you are meeting a great personality, a great celebrity, or a powerful personality, usually the person who is going to meet that great personality, he will be excited to meet the great personality. Say suppose, for example, say suppose you are going to meet a big cricket star or a big film star, a big businessman, then person who is going to meet him, he will be excited. But the person, that great personality, a film star or a cricket star, he meets so many fans, he does not actually feel excited. Only the person who meets, he feels excited. But actually, in regards to Krishna, it is exactly the opposite. Krishna is more excited to meet the living entities than the living entities' eagerness to meet Krishna. When a living entity goes back to the spiritual world, Krishna is more eager to meet that living entity. Krishna is more excited to meet that living entity who is coming to the spiritual world. In fact, he is more excited than the previous person. Usually when a big film star or a sports star, he meets so many fans. Initially when he meets a particular fan, or when he goes to a fan club, he'll be excited. But then after some time, he will no longer feel that excitement. Because so many people, so many fans are meeting. He will not feel that excitement. But in regards to Krishna, although he feels more excited to meet a new living entity, a new devotee, than the previous devotee. With every new living entity going back to the spiritual world, Krishna feels more excitement. He feels more eager to meet a new devotee. So that is the actually nature of Krishna. That means like he's not in the mood of a, he's not telling this verse in the mood of an enjoyer. So let us see some examples that how actually Krishna is eager to serve his devotees. Like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story, especially if you read the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Krishna kidnapping Rukmini. So in that story, Krishna actually goes to the kingdom of Rukmini, that is the Vidarbha province. Rukmini was actually about to be married to Shishupal. But then Rukmini was expecting, she wants to get married to Krishna. That's why she wrote a letter to Krishna. She sent a letter to Krishna through a Brahman. And then Rukmini is eagerly waiting for Krishna's arrival. So on the day of the marriage, Rukmini goes to worship goddess Kali or one of the goddess. So then after going to that particular temple, when she comes out, at that time Krishna arrives, and then Krishna kidnaps Rukmini and then starts going away. So as soon as Krishna kidnaps Rukmini, there are actually so many kings had come for that marriage of Rukmini. In fact, Shishupal had come with a whole big army, and so many other kings had also come. As soon as they saw that Krishna has kidnapped Rukmini, all these kings with all their big armies, they started attacking Krishna. So Rukmini becomes very much she goes through great anxiety. She was actually very much anxious whether Krishna will come and kidnap her. Ultimately, Krishna came and kidnapped, but then now she is in greater anxiety because so many kings are attacking Krishna. So at that time, when Krishna saw that Rukmini is in anxiety, Krishna told Rukmini, "Oh Rukmini, please do not worry. Your army will destroy the armies of all these kings within a short time." So here it is very important to understand. Krishna is telling to Rukmini that your army will destroy all these kings in a short time. Krishna also came with his army for the marriage to kidnap Rukmini. Krishna is referring to the army which he brought from Dwaraka as being owned by Rukmini. In fact, Krishna is actually meeting Rukmini for the first time in his life. Of course, one sense Rukmini is an eternal consort of Krishna. But then Krishna is meeting Rukmini for the first time in his life, and just few seconds back Krishna met Rukmini. Immediately after that few seconds, Krishna is telling Rukmini that actually my army belongs to you. So your army will destroy the army of all these kings. So the point I am trying to make is that Krishna is actually ready to share all the opulence he has to a living entity. Krishna is more eager to share all his opulence to a living entity who comes and takes shelter of him than the living entity's eagerness to actually take shelter of Krishna. Like once in 1976, there was the devotees in ISKCON, they were celebrating the 10th anniversary of ISKCON. 1966, Prabhupada actually started ISKCON. So in 1976, they were celebrating the 10th anniversary of ISKCON. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai, Shri Shri Gauranitai ki jai. So there was a big celebration. So devotees had made a big cake. So Prabhupada was sitting in the Vyasasan. Then Prabhupada commented that when I actually came to your country, I just came with 40 rupees. And many people were scaring me. They scared me by saying that if you go to America, you will just have to eat some bread and potatoes, boiled potatoes. So they were scaring me like that. But then I am getting now such big, big cakes and big, big feasts. So Prabhupada was saying that how Krishna is so merciful. So when the point is that when a person tries to serve Krishna, Krishna actually takes so many more steps towards that particular devotee, then Krishna gives so much of opulence in return. There is a small story in this regard. Like once there was a king. So this king had a servant. So this servant was serving the king for 60 years. So then, he was serving the king very faithfully for 60 years. But one day, one of the friends of the servant was told the servant, "See, you are serving this king for 60 years, but what has he done for you? What is, you are just having the same property, why are you serving the king again and again? He didn't do much more for you." Like that, he actually contaminated the mind of the servant. So then the servant was faithful, but then because of this bad advice given by his neighbors, then he decided to leave the service of the king. So he stole the crown of the king, and then he actually left the palace of the king. So he thought that if I actually sell this crown, then I will get a lot of money. And then I will be able to leave my lead the rest of my life with great opulence. So he stole that crown and then he went. So then he, in order to sell that crown, he went to different shops. But actually none of the shops were actually ready to accept that crown. Because when they took the crown, they could actually smell that particular fragrance, which is actually unique to that king, the royal family. So they thought it actually must be belonging to the royal family. Maybe if we buy this, if I give money, maybe we will be actually caught. So practically none of the shoppers, they were ready to buy that crown. So it's an important lesson. So when a person tries to enjoy the property of God independently from God, then he will not be able to enjoy peacefully. When a person steals the property of God, tries to enjoy independently from God, he cannot enjoy peacefully. Just like the servant who stole the property of the king, he was trying to sell that, but then he could not sell. He could not enjoy only. And after going through so many shops, he became so frustrated. Then finally, he ultimately met one person, one of his friends, from the palace, he said that, you see, that king is actually looking for you. Why don't you come and meet the king? So then those soldiers, they brought this person to the king. When they found that this person is actually, king had sent the soldiers to find out where his servant is. Finally the soldiers met him. And then he came to the palace. He was very much afraid. What will the king do? He thought that he was expecting that king will punish him severely. So when he met the king, king actually embraced the servant. And then he said that, where did you go? I was just looking for you. I was just waiting for you. And then he said, now you put my crown and dress me properly. So the point is, Krishna is also like that king. The living entity is like that servant who actually tries to enjoy independently from God. But when a person tries to enjoy independently from God, he actually never gets happiness. And Krishna is actually eagerly looking for that servant, eagerly looking for the living entity. Although the living entity has gone away from Krishna, but Krishna is more eager to serve the living entity. Like another place in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, this book Srimad Bhagavatam is actually the personification of Lord Krishna. Like suppose, if you go for a movie, in a movie, the opening of the movie is very important, how the movie starts. And especially, how the hero is introduced in the movie. The first scene in which hero comes and introduces himself, how the hero is introduced, these are all like some important aspects of the movie. Usually when a hero is introduced, like he'll be fighting or he'll make a big style and then hero will be introduced like that. So Srimad Bhagavatam is actually personification of Lord Krishna. But then how is actually Krishna introduced in the Srimad Bhagavatam? How does Krishna appear in the Srimad Bhagavatam? So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the very first time Krishna is introduced in the Srimad Bhagavatam is in the first canto, 7th chapter. How does Krishna introduce himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam? It is described, it is mentioned Krishna was introduced as the chariot driver of Arjuna. Chariot driver, being a chariot driver of Arjuna, is not a chariot driver's position is not a very high position. In fact, when a person, the person who drives a chariot in the battlefield, he will be actually getting kicks from the warrior. Because when the warrior is fighting in the battle, if he has to tell the chariot driver, go towards the left side or go towards the right side, because the battlefield is, such an intense place, he cannot, and he will be in such an angry mood, he will not have time to tell, okay, turn right or turn left. If he wants to tell the chariot driver, okay, you turn right, he will kick the chariot driver in the right side. If he has to go in the left side, he will kick the chariot driver in the left side. So, and not only that, it's not that the person, warrior, will give a, consciously he will give a kick. Okay, now I have to kick him in the right side. So let me lift my leg and touch him on the right side. He will not be thinking like that. Because it is such an intense position, he will just give a sudden kick. He will give a, already he is in angry mood. So the whole body is in angry mood, he will just give a kick. So Krishna was taking the kicks from Arjuna. and Krishna was in that position of chariot driver. So one may say, why is Krishna speaking this kind of verse, do everything as an offering to me? But then what is Krishna doing in the battlefield of Kurukshetra? So another point is that when we compare Krishna with the mundane bosses, like the mundane bosses in this world, when you join a company, the boss, they may promise so much of benefits, okay, you will get such an amount, such and such salary, you will get this much, you will be your allowance, this much leave, and then you will get so much of benefit, etc. But actually, you will get laptop, mobile, everything they will get. But actually, it is a trap. They are giving you a laptop so that you can work from your home also. They'll give you a mobile so that you can be contacted at any time. Then you can be called for work. So mundane bosses, although they may be promising so much of benefits, they actually control your independence. But in the case of Krishna, when a person becomes a devotee of Krishna, Krishna gives more independence to the devotee. Contrary to what one may think, oh, Krishna is telling everyone, is telling us to surrender everything to him. Krishna gives more independence. So one has to understand that although Krishna may be speaking as if, it may appear that Krishna is speaking in the mood of a sadistic enjoyer, oh, do everything as an offering to me. But actually Krishna is not like that. Krishna is more eager to serve a living entity, serve his devotees, than the living in it is desire to serve Krishna. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, thus it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. So this is the actually key. The duty of everyone is to basically mold one's life in such a way that one never forgets Krishna at any circumstance. So there are so many rules and regulations which are mentioned in the scriptures. But what is the purpose of all rules and regulations? Like for example, like in the Vedic culture, so many, I remember that 2 years back, when we had gone for the Mayapur Yatra. So in the Mayapur, where the international headquarters of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is there. So there in that Yatra, at the end of the Yatra, the Mayapur temple, they had actually, they showed a video show of the upcoming temple in Mayapur. So we are trying to build a huge temple. It is called the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. Huge temple. At a time, something like 10,000 people can be there in the temple hall, something like that. Of that magnitude and that size. So they are presenting the model of the new temple. So they are presenting that how this new temple, the size of the dome will be something like 300 feet or 400 feet, something like that. Huge size. So devotees are completely amazed by the model and design. So then later when I was telling this to one person, so he was saying that, why is it necessary to build such a big temple, having so many 300 feet high? Why are you spending so much of amount for that? The person was asking. So I was giving some answer. Then later on, I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So I came across one particular point, which was very much relevant. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there was a personality called Vidura. If you read Mahabharata, Vidura, who is like advisor of Dhritarashtra, he once went on a pilgrimage. So when he went on a pilgrimage, it is described that he actually went to different places of pilgrimage where there are many temples of the Lord, many huge temples of the Lord which are decorated with the symbols of Lord Vishnu. So in that purpose, Srila Prabhupada writes that it is under, we must note that the temples in the Vedic culture, they are built, the height of the temple are very huge, very like several hundred feet high. Why they build such high temples? Because when they build such high temples, people can see those temples even from a great distance. Just like in Mayapur, like when we go on yatra, like sometimes we go on a boat to different islands. So when we are coming in the boat itself, from that boat itself, we can see the Mayapur Chandrodaya temple, or the Prabhupada Samadhi, the dome. I remember in Srirangam, there is a big temple of Lord Vishnu. Ranganath temple is there. Like, they say that Srirangam, like you can see that Srirangam Gopuram even from several kilometers away. It is said that, like, if you go to the top of that Gopuram, I don't know how far it is true, but it says that from that you can see even Lanka, something like that, somebody said. But basically the point is that they build such high temples so that people can see the temples from great distance. And what is the purpose of seeing those temples? So when they see those temples from great distance, so they will see the symbols of Lord Vishnu which are marked in the domes of those temples, the Gopurams. So as soon as a person sees those symbols of Lord Vishnu, they can immediately remember Lord Vishnu. So the point is, the huge temples are built so that people can see those temples from great distance, and as soon as they see those big domes, they will see the symbols of Lord Vishnu, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma. So as soon as they see those symbols, they will immediately remember Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. So that means the purpose of building the temples is so that people can remember Krishna just by seeing those temples from a great distance. So that is the purpose of all the rules and regulations, to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Smartavya satatam Vishnur vismartavyona jatuchit sarva vidhi nishedasyur yetayor eva kinkara. Rupa Goswami says that the purpose of what a rule, suppose in the scriptures there are several do's and several don'ts. There are several rules and there are also several regulations. The purpose of following a rule is to get certain benefit. And the purpose of following a regulation is to avoid certain sinful reaction. And Rupa Goswami says, there are so many rules and regulations are there, but if you simply follow this particular rule, that is to always remember Krishna, then you will get the benefit of following all the rules. And if you follow this one particular regulation, that is to never forget Krishna, then you will actually get the result of following all the regulations. That means, like, you will not be affected by any sinful reaction. Purpose of following a sinful reaction is to avoid, purpose of following a regulation is to avoid a particular sinful reaction. So if you just simply follow this particular regulation, that is to never forget Krishna, then you will get the benefit of following all the regulations. That means you will not be affected by any sinful reaction. So that is why Prabhupada starts the purport by saying that one should mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. So, then Prabhupada says that ultimately everyone has to work for the maintenance of his body and soul together. He has to keep the body and soul together, he has to work. To keep the body, he has to eat something. So Krishna says that, okay, you have to eat something to maintain your body. So do it as an offering to me. First eat, offer the food to me, and then take prasadam. So this actually, taking a prasadam, such a simple process, but it's a very powerful process. Just like, so there are different vehicles, like suppose, like there are like two wheelers, like TVS 50 or Hero Honda or different like bikes, Yamaha. So for two wheelers there are certain like fuel, and like for cars, different varieties of cars are there. So for cars like different fuel is there. And if suppose in the case of an airplane, then there is like different fuel, different quality fuel, although it may be manufactured from the same source. So there are different fuel for different vehicle. So similarly, there are different bodies are there. Animals are there, trees are there, human body is there. So the fuel for the human body for running this particular vehicle is actually the prasadam or food offered to Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. So this is the, when we take this particular fuel, prasadam, then we can actually, our body will run more efficiently. Like, there are like few quotes about the benefits of taking prasadam. It is said, when a person takes prasadam unknowingly, he can extinguish the sinful reactions of 7 lifetimes. And when a person takes prasadam knowingly, then he can remove the sinful reactions of 1,000,000 lifetimes. And in the Vishnu Puran it is said that if a person simply takes prasadam, he gets the benefit of fasting for 6 months. And it is said, when a person takes prasadam, and then when he walks, he purifies the earth. In fact, he purifies even the holy places, and he touches, whomever he touches, that person will also get purified. So, the food which is offered to Lord Krishna, prasadam means it is food which is offered to Krishna. So, it may look like any other food, but then it is actually very potent. And it is very simple. So whatever, everyone has to eat something. So whatever you cook in your house, so before anybody in the house eats, you just keep a separate plate, you can keep a separate altar in the house, you can keep a photo of Krishna and the Guru Parampara. Then you can just offer the food in that particular plate. You can keep a separate plate for the deities. Then you put some tulsi leaves and then just offer to the Lord. And then when the whole family eats, you will see that in a matter of few days, like the consciousness of the family members, they will actually, it will improve. They will become more favorable for Krishna consciousness. Like there are so many stories how prasadam changed people. Like once in Los Angeles, when devotees were going in Harinam, so there was one particular vegetable vendor, he would actually throw tomatoes at the devotees. But then the devotees would not retaliate. They would just give some barfi, prasadam, to the vegetable vendor. The vegetable vendor, but then again and again, every day they would go for Harinam. And then he would take prasadam, but still he would again throw the tomatoes. But after some time, he stopped throwing tomatoes. And after some time, the Ratayatra came. He sponsored tomatoes for the Ratayatra. The power, what is the, how did the transformation take place? Simply by taking prasadam every day, he was completely transformed. He developed a favorable attitude towards the devotees. Like the Prabhupada Leelamrita, this pastime comes. When Srila Prabhupada was conducting the first marriage in International Society for Krishna Consciousness, like he was conducting the marriage of, I think, Yamuna Devi, or she was conducting the first marriage. So in that marriage, some 6 or 7 people who were following a macrobiotic diet, they had also come for the marriage. Prabhupada had cooked a big feast, something like 10 or 15 course feast for the marriage. All different sweets and pakodas and different kinds of rice and puris he had cooked. And when these people who are following a macrobiotic diet means like they would just eat some boiled vegetables. So when they had come, when they got the smell of this prasadam, that itself actually, they were completely affected by the smell itself. Sometimes when the devotees cook and then they put a chunk and the spices, that smell itself, sometimes it is so fragrant, so people who smell it, what are you cooking today, like that. People, smell also attracts. So these people, this macrobiotic people, they were attracted by the smell, and then they were reluctant to take the food, but then they just, one of them wanted to taste something. So one person started tasting, and then he ended up eating the whole plate of prasadam. One by one, another person, he also started taking. And finally, all the 6 people, they ended up taking prasadam again and again. So in this way, people were completely affected by the prasadam. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma says, Atapite deva padambujadvaya prasadaleshanugrihita yevahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya yeko pichiram vichinvan. Lord Brahma says that when a person gets little bit of mercy of yours, if a person gets taste even a little mercy of yours, such a person can understand the greatness of you. Only a person who gets little bit of mercy of yours, he can understand your greatness. On the other hand, if a person tries to understand you through speculation, even if he studies the Vedic literature for many years, he cannot understand your personality even little bit. So what is the prasadam? Is nothing but the mercy of the Lord. So when a person simply takes prasadam, so automatically he will actually develop, he will be able to understand Krishna consciousness. He'll be able to develop a favorable attitude towards devotional service. Then Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that he says that nowadays people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra round his beads, he is surely the greatest meditator. So another simple and powerful process is chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, chanting the names of God. So it is said, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranyata. In fact, if you read this particular verse, it is emphasized 8 times. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama. 3 times it is mentioned only the name of Lord Hari. And then after that it is mentioned Eva, only, Kevalam, again it also means only. So 5 times it is mentioned. Then again it is mentioned Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva Gatiranyata. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way in this age of Kali Yuga except the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So 8 times it is mentioned about the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And it is such a simple process. A living entity is actually a part and parcel of God. So he has a natural attraction towards Krishna. So every living entity, the Krishna, it is, Prabhupada would say that Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. Suppose if you have to chant Coca-Cola, 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 after some time you will get tired. It's an artificial process. It's like a simple example. It is said, Gunarani Channa Chidushma Paya. Just like Arani wood. If you take Arani wood or any wood, within the Arani wood there is fire is present. The energy of the sun, the fire energy of the sun is stored within the Arani wood. But then, how does the fire come out? When there is a friction between two Arani woods, then the fire comes out. So the fire is present within the Arani wood, but there is a process by which that fire can be brought out. So similarly, Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It is dormant within everyone's heart. One has to awaken the Krishna consciousness by chanting the holy names of God. Or another example is, just like iron piece. Iron piece has a natural attraction towards a magnet. When you keep a magnet near an iron piece will immediately go towards the magnet. But then, when the iron piece is having lot of rust, then the iron piece will not go towards the magnet. So, in order to remove the rust, you have to file the iron piece. So, that filing process is like the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, when you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then that natural attraction which is there dormant within the heart, that will be awakened. So all you have to do is just add Krishna. Like here Krishna is saying that whatever you do, do it as an offering to me. Whatever you eat, do it as an offering to me. Like once there was a man, an old man, some funny story, but then it has a good message. So this old man, he wrote a will. In that will he wrote that he had 19 horses actually. In that will he wrote that the only property he had was 19 horses. So in the will he wrote that half my property should go to my son and 1/4 of my property will go to my daughter. 1/4 of my property will go to this particular relative. Like that he wrote. So then after he died, then they were trying to divide the property. The property was 19 horses. They were wondering how to divide this 19 horses. Half means like 9.5. 9.5 hours. But how do you get 9.5 hours? So then what they did is they just added one horse and then they divided. He added 1 horse, so it became 20 horses and divided 10, 5, 5. So by adding the 1 horse, they solved the problem. So similarly, you just have to add Krishna to your life. As Krishna is saying, whatever you do, do it as an offering to me. Whatever you eat, do it as an offering to me. Whatever charity you give away, do it as an offering to me. So some people may find it difficult to sit and chant Hare Krishna mantra. Some people, they may not chant or they may not take prasadam, etc. But then still, like many people like to give charity. So whatever charity you give away, do it as an offering to Krishna. Do it for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. So there is a, I'll just stop in a few minutes. There is a nice verse in the 4th canto in which Prithu Maharaj is one of the king. He was a king in the Satya Yuga, the previous Yuga. So when he was instructing the citizens, he told the citizens, I request all the pure-hearted demigods, forefathers and saintly persons to support my proposal. What is his proposal? His proposal was that all of you should perform your duties as an offering to Krishna, as an offering to the Supreme Lord. So he's saying, I request all of you to support my proposal, because after death, the result of an action is equally shared by its doer, its director and its supporter. So after the death, when a person performs an activity, after the death of the person, the result of that action is equally shared by the doer of that activity, the director of the activity and the supporter of that activity. So the point I'm trying to make is that sometimes people may not be able, they may not have inclination to practice Krishna consciousness directly, but then they like to support, they like to give some charity. So you can give charity for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. So when a person gives charity for the propagation of Krishna consciousness, although the person who is giving charity, he may not be practicing in the sense of devotee chanting Hare Krishna mantra, but because he is supporting that activity of Krishna consciousness, he will equally share the benefit of all those Krishna conscious activities which go on in the temple. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, since the Krishna consciousness movement going on at the present moment is genuine, perfect and authorized and is following in the footsteps of Prithu Maharaj, anyone who cooperates with this movement or accepts its principles will get the same result as the workers who are actively propagating Krishna consciousness. So there are different people, they may be like actively propagating Krishna consciousness. They may be serving in the temple full time, or they may be staying outside, still they may be serving in the temple full time. But then like you may think, if I join Krishna consciousness, maybe I will also have to do so much of time, I will also have to invest so much of time in Krishna consciousness. One may feel afraid. No, even Krishna consciousness is such a process that you can take to the process as much as you want. Okay, if you can chant only 4 rounds, okay, you can chant. If you can chant only 2 rounds, you can chant 2 rounds. There is no compulsion that, you have to chant 16 rounds and this thing. It is such a process that you can take to the person as much as you want. So even if a person is not able to take, even if a person supports the Krishna consciousness movement by giving some charity or whatever time he has by investing in that, so he will get the same, he will also equally share the benefit of that particular Krishna conscious activity. So that is why this process is so simple. So, I'll stop here. So if anybody has any questions, can just we'll just have one question otherwise.
Hare Krishna. How to remember Krishna 24 hours means many times we are in activities, studying or some doing some work. At that time we forget Krishna. So how to 24 hours remember Krishna?
So first of all, it is a practice, because you cannot immediately think like that, okay, I am not able to remember Krishna all the time. So the most important thing is that we have to start the day with Krishna conscious activities. So when you start the day with Krishna conscious activities, so that is like a preparation for the whole day. Let's say we chant the Hare Krishna mantra in the morning hours. So when we prepare the consciousness for the day, so then with that preparation, it will be easier to remember Krishna during the day when we deal with so many things. Another important thing is that we have to regularly hear about Krishna consciousness. We have to regularly hear from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And when we regularly hear from the devotees, the associate with the devotees, so that will actually give us an impetus. It will keep us fixed in the path. So there is no like some complicated technique. Ultimately, it boils down to one has to stick to the basics. One has to start the day with Krishna conscious activities, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Possible, one should, before starting the day, one can hear or one can read Srila Prabhupada's books. And regularly, when a person hears from the devotees, so that will help us to remember Krishna. So I'll stop here. श्रीमद् भगवद्गीता की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय